her husband says, "There are many good women, but you are the best." Charm can be deceiving and beauty fades away, but a woman who honors the Lord deserves to be praised. Show her respect, praise her in public for what she has done.
This ends Proverbs, narrated by Paul Hecht, Henry Strozier, and Tom Steckschulte. And now, Ecclesiastes, narrated by John McDonough.
Ecclesiastes. About this book. This book is a search for meaning in life. What can humans do to find satisfaction and happiness? What is worthwhile in life? The search begins with a gloomy outlook. Life is boring and as senseless as chasing the wind. Ecclesiastes looks at one area of life after another to see whether meaning and purpose for living can be found. The book decides that humans cannot understand the meaning of life, and that life is too short and unfair. This may seem depressing, but Ecclesiastes also shows that some things in life are better than others. For example, it is better to be wise than to be foolish. And God does intend for people to enjoy his gifts of work, food, drink, friendship, and marriage. Nothing makes sense. Chapter 1. When the son of David was king in Jerusalem, he was known to be very wise. And he said, "Nothing makes sense. Everything is nonsense. I have seen it all. Nothing makes sense. What is there to show for all of our hard work here on this earth? People come and people go, but still the world never changes. The sun comes up, the sun goes down. It hurries right back to where it started from. The wind blows south, the wind blows north. Round and round it blows, over and over again. All rivers empty into the sea, but it never spills over. One by one the rivers return to their source. All of life is far more boring than words could ever say. Our eyes and our ears are never satisfied with what we see and hear. Everything that happens has happened before. Nothing is new, nothing under the sun. Someone might say, "Here is something new," but it happened before, long before we were born. No one who lived in the past is remembered anymore, and everyone yet to be born will be forgotten too. It is senseless to be wise. I said these things when I lived in Jerusalem as king of Israel. With all my wisdom, I tried to understand everything that happens here on earth, and God has made this so hard for us humans to do. I have seen it all, and everything is just as senseless as chasing the wind. If something is crooked, it can't be made straight. If something isn't there, it can't be counted. I said to myself, "You are by far the wisest person who has ever lived in Jerusalem. You are eager to learn, and you have learned a lot." Then I decided to find out all I could about wisdom and foolishness. Soon I realized that this too was as senseless as chasing the wind. The more you know, the more you hurt. The more you understand, the more you suffer. It is senseless to be selfish. Chapter 2. I said to myself, "Have fun and enjoy yourself." But this didn't make sense. Laughing and having fun is crazy. What good does it do? I wanted to find out what was best for us during the short time we have on this earth. So I decided to make myself happy with wine, and find out what it means to be foolish, without really being foolish myself. I did some great things. I built houses and planted vineyards. I had flower gardens and orchards full of fruit trees, and I had pools where I could get water for the trees. I owned slaves, and their sons and daughters became my slaves. I had more sheep and goats than anyone who had ever lived in Jerusalem. Foreign rulers brought me silver, gold, and precious treasures. Men and women sang for me, and I had many wives who gave me great pleasure. I was the most famous person who had ever lived in Jerusalem, and I was very wise. I got whatever I wanted and did whatever made me happy. But most of all, I enjoyed my work. Then I thought about everything I had done, including the hard work, and it was simply chasing the wind. Nothing on earth is worth the trouble. Wisdom makes sense. I asked myself, what can the next king do that I haven't done? Then I decided to compare wisdom with foolishness and stupidity, and I discovered that wisdom is better than foolishness, just as light is better than darkness. Wisdom is like having two good eyes. Foolishness leaves you in the dark. But wise or foolish, we all end up the same. Finally, I said to myself, being wise got me nowhere. The same thing will happen to me that happens to fools. Nothing makes sense. Wise or foolish, we all die and are soon forgotten. This made me hate life. Everything we do is painful. It's just as senseless as chasing the wind. Suddenly I realized that others would someday get everything I had worked for so hard. Then I started hating it all. Who knows if those people will be sensible or stupid? Either way, they will own everything I have earned by hard work and wisdom. It doesn't make sense. I thought about all my hard work and I felt depressed. When we use our wisdom, knowledge, and skill to get what we own, why do we have to leave it to someone who didn't work for it? This is senseless and wrong. What do we really gain from all of our hard work? Our bodies ache during the day, and work is torture. Then at night, our thoughts are troubled. It just doesn't make sense. The best thing we can do is to enjoy eating, drinking, and working. I believe these are God's gifts to us. And no one enjoys eating and living more than I do. If we please God, He will make us wise, understanding, and happy. But if we sin, God will make us struggle for a living. Then He will give all we own to someone who pleases Him. This makes no more sense than chasing the wind. Everything has its time. Chapter 3. Everything on earth has its own time and its own season. There is a time for birth and death, planting and reaping, for killing and healing, destroying and building, for crying and laughing, weeping and dancing, for throwing stones and gathering stones, embracing and parting. There is a time for finding and losing, keeping and giving, for tearing and sowing, listening and speaking. There is also a time for love and hate, for war and peace. What God has given us to do. What do we gain by all of our hard work? I have seen what difficult things God demands of us. God makes everything happen at the right time. Yet none of us can ever fully understand all He has done. And He puts questions in our minds about the past and the future. I know the best thing we can do is to always enjoy life, because God's gift to us is the happiness we get from our food and drink and from the work we do. Everything God has done will last forever. Nothing He does can ever be changed. God has done all this so that we will worship Him. Everything that happens has happened before, and all that will be has already been. God does everything over and over again. The future is known only to God. Everywhere on earth, I saw violence and injustice instead of fairness and justice. So I told myself that God has set a time and a place for everything. He will judge everyone, both the wicked and the good. I know that God is testing us to show us that we are merely animals. Like animals, we breathe and die, and we are no better off than they are. It just doesn't make sense. All living creatures go to the same place. We are made from earth, and we return to the earth. Who really knows if our spirits go up and the spirits of animals go down into the earth? We were meant to enjoy our work, and that's the best thing we can do. We can never know the future. Chapter 4. I looked again and saw people being mistreated everywhere on earth. They were crying, but no one was there to offer comfort, and those who mistreated them were powerful. I said to myself, the dead are better off than the living, but those who have never been born are better off than anyone else, because they have never seen the terrible things that happen on this earth. Then I realized that we work and do wonderful things just because we are jealous of others. This makes no more sense than chasing the wind. Fools will fold their hands and starve to death. Yet a very little food, eaten in peace, is better than twice as much earned from overwork and chasing the wind. Once again, I saw that nothing on earth makes sense. For example, some people don't have friends or family, but they are never satisfied with what they own, and they never stop working to get more. They should ask themselves, why am I always working to have more? Who will get what I leave behind? What a senseless and miserable life. It is better to have a friend. You are better off to have a friend than to be all alone, because then you will get more enjoyment out of what you earn. If you fall, your friend can help you up. But if you fall without having a friend nearby, you are really in trouble. If you sleep alone, you won't have anyone to keep you warm on a cold night. Someone might be able to beat up one of you, but not both of you. As the saying goes, a rope made from 3 strands of cord is hard to break. You may be poor and young, but if you are wise, you are better off than a foolish old king who won't listen to advice. Even if you were not born into the royal family and have been a prisoner and poor, you can still be king. I once saw everyone in the world follow a young leader who came to power after the king was gone. His followers could not even be counted. But years from now, no one will praise him. This makes no more sense than chasing the wind. Be careful how you worship. Chapter 5. Be careful what you do when you enter the house of God. Some fools go there to offer sacrifices, even though they haven't sinned. But it's best just to listen when you go to worship. Don't talk before you think, or make promises to God without thinking them through. God is in heaven, and you are on earth, so don't talk too much. If you keep thinking about something, you will dream about it. If you talk too much, you will say the wrong thing. God doesn't like fools, so don't be slow to keep your promises to God. It's better not to make a promise at all than to make one and not keep it. Don't let your mouth get you in trouble. And don't say to the worship leader, I didn't mean what I said. God can destroy everything you have worked for, so don't say something that makes God angry. Respect and obey God. Daydreaming leads to a lot of senseless talk. Don't be surprised if the poor of your country are abused, and injustice takes the place of justice. After all, the lower officials must do what the higher ones order them to do. And since the king is the highest official, he benefits most from the taxes paid on the land. If you love money and wealth, you will never be satisfied with what you have. This doesn't make sense either. The more you have, the more everyone expects from you. Your money won't do you any good. Others will just spend it for you. If you have to work hard for a living, you can rest well at night, even if you don't have much to eat. But if you are rich, you can't even sleep. I have seen something terribly unfair. People get rich, but it does them no good. Suddenly they lose everything in a bad business deal, then have nothing to leave for their children. They came into this world naked, and when they die, they will be just as naked. They can't take anything with them, and they won't have anything to show for all their work. That's terribly unfair. They leave the world just as they came into it. They gained nothing from running after the wind. Besides all this, they are always gloomy at mealtime, and they are troubled, sick, and bitter. What is the best thing to do in the short life that God has given us? I think we should enjoy eating, drinking, and working hard. This is what God intends for us to do. Suppose you are very rich and able to enjoy everything you own. Then go ahead and enjoy working hard. This is God's gift to you. God will keep you so happy that you won't have time to worry about each day. Don't depend on wealth. Chapter 6. There is something else terribly unfair, and it troubles everyone on earth. God may give you everything you want, money, property, and wealth. Then God doesn't let you enjoy it, and someone you don't even know gets it all. That's senseless and terribly unfair. You may live a long time and have 100 children, but a child born dead is better off than you unless you enjoy life and have a decent burial. That child will never live to see the sun or to have a name, and it will go straight to the world of darkness. But it will still find more rest than you, even if you live 2,000 years and don't enjoy life. As you know, we all end up in the same place. We struggle just to have enough to eat, but we are never satisfied. We may be sensible, yet we are no better off than a fool. And if we are poor, it still doesn't do us any good to try to live right. It's better to enjoy what we have than to always want something else, because that makes no more sense than chasing the wind. Everything that happens was decided long ago. We humans know what we are like, and we can't argue with God, because He is too strong for us. The more we talk, the less sense we make. So what good does it do to talk? Life is short and meaningless, and it fades away like a shadow. Who knows what is best for us? Who knows what will happen after we are gone? The best in life. Chapter 7. A good reputation at the time of death is better than loving care at the time of birth. It's better to go to a funeral than to attend a feast. Funerals remind us that we all must die. Choose sorrow over laughter, because a sad face may hide a happy heart. A sensible person mourns, but fools always laugh. Harsh correction is better than the songs of a fool. Foolish laughter is stupid. It sounds like thorns crackling in a fire. Corruption makes fools of sensible people, and bribes can ruin you. Something completed is better than something just begun. Patience is better than too much pride. Only fools get angry quickly and hold a grudge. It isn't wise to ask, why is everything worse than it used to be? Having wisdom is better than an inheritance. Wisdom will protect you, just like money. Knowledge with good sense will lead you to life. Think of what God has done. If God makes something crooked, can you make it straight? When times are good, you should be cheerful. When times are bad, think what it means. God makes them both to keep us from knowing what will happen next. Some of life's questions. I have seen everything during this senseless life of mine. I have seen good citizens die for doing the right thing, and I have seen criminals live to a ripe old age. So don't destroy yourself by being too good or acting too smart. Don't die before your time by being too evil or acting like a fool. Keep to the middle of the road. You can do this if you truly respect God. Wisdom will make you stronger than the 10 most powerful leaders in your city. No one in this world always does right. Don't listen to everything that everyone says, or you might hear your servant cursing you. Haven't you cursed many others? I told myself that I would be smart and try to understand all of this, but it was too much for me. The truth is beyond us. It's far too deep. So I decided to learn everything I could and become wise enough to discover what life is all about. At the same time, I wanted to understand why it's stupid and senseless to be an evil fool. Here is what I discovered. A bad woman is worse than death. She is a trap, reaching out with body and soul to catch you. But if you obey God, you can escape. If you don't obey, you are done for. With all my wisdom, I have tried to find out how everything fits together. But so far, I have not been able to. I do know there is one good man in 1,000, but never have I found a good woman. I did learn one thing. We were completely honest when God created us, but now we have twisted minds. Chapter 8. Who is smart enough to explain everything? Wisdom makes you cheerful and gives you a smile. Obey the king. If you promised God that you would be loyal to the king, I advise you to keep that promise. Don't quickly oppose the king or argue when he has already made up his mind. The king's word is law. No one can ask him, "Why are you doing this?" If you obey the king, you will stay out of trouble. So be smart and learn what to do and when to do it. Life is hard, but there is a time and a place for everything, though no one can tell the future. We cannot control the wind or determine the day of our death. There is no escape in time of war, and no one can hide behind evil. I noticed all this and thought seriously about what goes on in the world. Why does one person have the power to hurt another? Who can understand the ways of God? I saw the wicked buried with honor, but God's people had to leave the holy city and were forgotten. None of this makes sense. When we see criminals commit crime after crime without being punished, it makes us want to start a life of crime. They commit hundreds of crimes and live to a ripe old age, in spite of the saying, "Everyone who lives right and respects God will prosper, but no one who sins and rejects God will prosper or live very long." There is something else that doesn't make sense to me. Good citizens are treated as criminals, while criminals are honored as though they were good citizens. So I think we should get as much out of life as we possibly can. There is nothing better than to enjoy our food and drink and to have a good time. Then we can make it through this troublesome life that God has given us here on earth. Day and night I went without sleep, trying to understand what goes on in this world. I saw everything God does, and I realized that no one can really understand what happens. We may be very wise, but no matter how much we try or how much we claim to know, we cannot understand it all. One Day at a Time. Chapter 9. I thought about these things. Then I understood that God has power over everyone, even those of us who are wise and live right. Anything can happen to any of us, and so we never know if life will be good or bad. But exactly the same thing will finally happen to all of us, whether we live right and respect God, or sin and don't respect God. Yes, the same thing will happen if we offer sacrifices to God, or if we don't, if we keep our promises or break them. It's terribly unfair for the same thing to happen to each of us. We are mean and foolish while we live, and then we die. As long as we are alive, we still have hope, just as a live dog is better off than a dead lion. We know that we will die, but the dead don't know a thing. Nothing good will happen to them. They are gone and forgotten. Their loves, their hates, and their jealous feelings have all disappeared with them. They will never again take part in anything that happens on this earth. Be happy and enjoy eating and drinking. God decided long ago that this is what you should do. Dress up, comb your hair, and look your best. Life is short, and you love your wife, so enjoy being with her. This is what you are supposed to do as you struggle through life on this earth. Work hard at whatever you do. You will soon go to the world of the dead, where no one works or thinks or reasons or knows anything. Here is something else I have learned. The fastest runners and the greatest heroes don't always win races and battles. Wisdom, intelligence, and skill don't always make you healthy, rich, or popular. We each have our share of bad luck. None of us know when we might fall victim to a sudden disaster and find ourselves like fish in a net or birds in a trap. Better to be wise than foolish. Once I saw what people really think of wisdom. It happened when a powerful ruler surrounded and attacked a small city where only a few people lived. The enemy army was getting ready to break through the city walls, but the city was saved by the wisdom of a poor person who was soon forgotten. So I decided that wisdom is better than strength. Yet, if you are poor, no one pays any attention to you, no matter how smart you are. Words of wisdom spoken softly make much more sense than the shouts of a ruler to a crowd of fools. Wisdom is more powerful than weapons, yet one mistake can destroy all the good you have done. Chapter 10. A few dead flies in perfume make all of it stink, and a little foolishness outweighs a lot of wisdom. Sensible thoughts lead you to do right. Foolish thoughts lead you to do wrong. Fools show their stupidity by the way they live. It's easy to see they have no sense. Don't give up your job when your boss gets angry. If you stay calm, you'll be forgiven. Some things rulers do are terribly unfair. They honor fools, but dishonor the rich. They let slaves ride on horses, but force slave owners to walk. If you dig a pit, you might fall in. If you break down a wall, a snake might bite you. You could even get hurt by chiseling a stone or chopping a log. If you don't sharpen your axe, it will be harder to use. If you are smart, you'll know what to do. The power to charm a snake does you no good if it bites you anyway. If you talk sensibly, you will have friends. If you talk foolishly, you will destroy yourself. Fools begin with nonsense, and their stupid chatter ends with disaster. They never tire of talking, but none of us really know what the future will bring. Fools wear themselves out. They don't know enough to find their way home. A country is in for trouble when its ruler is childish and its leaders party all day long. But a nation will prosper when its ruler is mature and its leaders don't party too much. Some people are too lazy to fix a leaky roof. Then the house falls in. Eating and drinking make you feel happy, and bribes can buy everything you need. Don't even think about cursing the king. Don't curse the rich, not even in secret. A little bird might hear and tell everything. It pays to work hard, Chapter 11. Be generous, and some day you will be rewarded. Share what you have with 7 or 8 others, because you never know when disaster may strike. Rain clouds always bring rain. Trees always stay wherever they fall. If you worry about the weather and don't plant seeds, you won't harvest a crop. No one can explain how a baby breathes before it is born, so how can anyone explain what God does? After all, He created everything. Plant your seeds early in the morning and keep working in the field until dark. Who knows, your work might pay off and your seeds might produce. Youth and old age. Nothing on earth is more beautiful than the morning sun. Even if you live to a ripe old age, you should try to enjoy each day, because darkness will come and will last a long time. Nothing makes sense. Be cheerful and enjoy life while you are young. Do what you want and find pleasure in what you see. But don't forget that God will judge you for everything you do. Rid yourself of all worry and pain, because the wonderful moments of youth quickly disappear. Chapter 12. Keep your Creator in mind while you are young. In years to come, you will be burdened down with troubles and say, "I don't enjoy life anymore." Someday the light of the sun and the moon and the stars will all seem dim to you. Rain clouds will remain over your head. Your body will grow feeble, your teeth will decay, and your eyesight fail. The noisy grinding of grain will be shut out by your deaf ears, but even the song of a bird will keep you awake. You will be afraid to climb up a hill or walk down a road. Your hair will turn as white as almond blossoms. You will feel lifeless and drag along like an old grasshopper. We each go to our eternal home, and the streets are filled with those who mourn. The silver cord snaps, the golden bowl breaks, the water pitcher is smashed, and the pulley at the well is shattered. So our bodies return to the earth, and the life-giving breath returns to God. Nothing makes sense. I have seen it all. Nothing makes sense. Respect and obey God. I was a wise teacher with much understanding, and I collected a number of proverbs that I had carefully studied. Then I tried to explain these things in the best and most accurate way. Words of wisdom are like the stick a farmer uses to make animals move. These sayings come from God, our only shepherd, and they are like nails that fasten things together. My child, I warn you to stay away from any teachings except these. There is no end to books, and too much study will wear you out. Everything you were taught can be put into a few words. Respect and obey God. This is what life is all about. God will judge everything we do, even what is done in secret, whether good or bad.
This ends Ecclesiastes, narrated by John McDonough. And now, Song of Songs, narrated by Robert Ramirez, Richard Poe, and Kate Forbes.
Song of Songs. About this book. The title of this book means "The Most Beautiful of Songs." In some translations, it is called "The Song of Solomon." This book is a collection of songs or poems in which a woman and a man tell about their love for each other. Sometimes they speak to themselves, sometimes to each other or to friends, and in some of the poems, they seem to be remembering earlier times in their relationship. The poems have been interpreted in different ways. Some have thought that the man was King Solomon himself, Others read the book as a drama. The woman was taken to the court of Solomon, but she was still in love with a man back in her hometown. And finally, the two are reunited. Some interpreters believe that the man and woman stand for God and his people.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Love is better than wine. Chapter 1. This is Solomon's most beautiful song. She speaks.
Kiss me tenderly. Your love is better than wine, and you smell so sweet. All the young women adore you. The very mention of your name is like spreading perfume. Hurry, my king. Let's hurry. Take me to your home.
The young women speak. We are happy for you, and we praise your love even more than wine. She speaks.
Young women of Jerusalem, it is only right that you should adore him. My skin is dark and beautiful, like a tent in the desert, or like Solomon's curtains. Don't stare at me just because the sun has darkened my skin. My brothers were angry with me. They made me work in the vineyard, and so I neglected my complexion. Don't let the other shepherds think badly of me. I'm not one of those women who shamelessly follow after shepherds. My darling, I love you. Where do you feed your sheep and let them rest at noon?
He speaks.
My dearest, if you don't know, just follow the path of the sheep. Then feed your young goats near the shepherd's tents. You move as gracefully as the pony that leads the chariot of the king. Earrings add to your beauty, and you wear a necklace of precious stones. Let's make you some jewelry of gold, woven with silver.
She speaks.
My king, while you were on your couch, my love was a magic charm. My darling, you are perfume between my breasts. You are flower blossoms from the gardens of En-Gedi.
He speaks.
My darling, you are lovely, so very lovely. Your eyes are those of a dove.
She speaks.
My love, you are handsome, truly handsome. The fresh green grass will be our wedding bed, in the shade of cedar and cypress trees.
Love makes everything beautiful. Chapter 2. She speaks.
I am merely a rose from the land of Sharon, a lily from the valley.
He speaks.
My darling, when compared with other young women, you are a lily among thorns.
She speaks.
And you, my love, are an apple tree, among trees of the forest. Your shade brought me pleasure. Your fruit was sweet. You led me to your banquet room and showered me with love. Refresh and strengthen me with raisins and apples. I am hungry for love. Put your left hand under my head and embrace me with your right arm. Young women of Jerusalem, promise me by the power of deer and gazelles never to awaken love before it is ready.
Winter is past. She speaks.
I hear the voice of the one I love as he comes leaping over mountains and hills like a deer or a gazelle. Now he stands outside our wall, looking through the window and speaking to me.
He speaks.
My darling, I love you. Let's go away together. Winter is past, the rain has stopped. Flowers cover the earth. It's time to sing. The cooing of doves is heard in our land. Fig trees are bearing fruit, while blossoms on grapevines fill the air with perfume. My darling, I love you. Let's go away together. You are my dove hiding among the rocks on the side of a cliff. Let me see how lovely you are. Let me hear the sound of your melodious voice. Our vineyards are in blossom. We must catch the little foxes that destroy the vineyards.
She speaks.
My darling, I am yours, and you are mine, as you feed your sheep among the lilies. Pretend to be a young deer dancing on mountain slopes until daylight comes and shadows fade away.
Beautiful Dreams. Chapter 3. She Speaks.
While in bed at night, I reached for the one I love with heart and soul. I looked for him, but he wasn't there. So I searched through the town for the one I love. I looked on every street, but he wasn't there. I even asked the guards patrolling the town, "Have you seen the one I love so much?" Right after that, I found him. I held him and would not let go until I had taken him to the home of my mother. Young women of Jerusalem, promise me by the power of deer and gazelles never to awaken love before it is ready.
The groom and the wedding party. Their friends speak. What do we see approaching from the desert like a cloud of smoke? With it comes the sweet smell of spices, including myrrh and frankincense. It is King Solomon, carried on a throne, surrounded by 60 of Israel's best soldiers. Each of them wears a sword. They are experts at fighting, even in the dark. The throne is made of trees from Lebanon. Its posts are silver, the back is gold, and the seat is covered with purple cloth. You women of Jerusalem have taken great care to furnish the inside. Now, come and see the crown given to Solomon by his mother on his happy wedding day. What a beautiful bride. Chapter 4. He Speaks.
My darling, you are lovely, so very lovely. As you look through your veil, your eyes are those of a dove. Your hair tosses about as gracefully as goats coming down from Gilead. Your teeth are whiter than sheep freshly washed. They match perfectly. Not one is missing. Your lips are crimson cords. Your mouth is shapely. Behind your veil are hidden beautiful rosy cheeks. Your neck is more graceful than the Tower of David, decorated with thousands of warrior shields. Your breasts are perfect. They are twin deer feeding among lilies. I will hasten to those hills sprinkled with sweet perfume and stay there till sunrise. My darling, you are lovely in every way. My bride, together we will leave Lebanon. We will say goodbye to the peaks of Mount Amana, Sinai, and Hermon, where lions and leopards live in the caves. My bride, my very own, you have stolen my heart. With one glance from your eyes and the glow of your necklace, you have stolen my heart. Your love is sweeter than wine. The smell of your perfume is more fragrant than spices. Your lips are a honeycomb. Milk and honey flow from your tongue. Your dress has the aroma of cedar trees from Lebanon. My bride, my very own, you are a garden, a fountain closed off to all others. Your arms are vines covered with delicious fruits and all sorts of spices. Henna, nard, saffron, calamus, cinnamon, frankincense, myrrh, and aloes. All the finest spices. You are a spring in the garden, a fountain of pure water, and a refreshing stream from Mount Lebanon.
She speaks.
Let the north wind blow, the south wind too. Let them spread the aroma of my garden, so the one I love may enter and taste its delicious fruits.
Chapter 5. He Speaks.
My bride, my very own, I come to my garden and enjoy its spices. I eat my honeycomb and honey. I drink my wine and milk.
Their friends speak. Eat and drink until you are drunk with love. Another dream. She speaks.
I was asleep, but dreaming. The one I love was at the door, knocking, and saying, "My darling, my very own, my flawless dove, open the door for me. My head is drenched with evening dew." But I had already undressed and bathed my feet. Should I dress again and get my feet dirty? Then my darling's hand reached to open the latch, and my heart stood still. When I rose to open the door, my hands and my fingers dripped with perfume. My heart stood still while he spoke to me, but when I opened the door, my darling had disappeared. I searched and shouted, but I could not find him. There was no answer. Then I was found by the guards patrolling the town and guarding the wall. They beat me up and stripped off my robe. Young women of Jerusalem, if you find the one I love, please say to him, "She is weak with desire."
Their friends speak. Most beautiful of women, why is the one you love more special than others? Why do you ask us to tell him how you feel? She speaks.
He is handsome and healthy, the most outstanding among 10,000. His head is purest gold, his hair is wavy, black as a raven. His eyes are a pair of doves bathing in a stream flowing with milk. His face is a garden of sweet-smelling spices. His lips are lilies dripping with perfume. His arms are branches of gold covered with jewels. His body is ivory decorated with sapphires. His legs are columns of marble on feet of gold. He stands there majestic, like Mount Lebanon and its choice cedar trees. His kisses are sweet. I desire him so much. Young women of Jerusalem, he is my lover and friend.
Chapter 6. Their friends speak. Most beautiful of women, tell us where he has gone. Let us help you find him. She speaks.
My darling has gone down to his garden of spices, where he will feed his sheep and gather lilies. I am his, and he is mine, as he feeds his sheep among the lilies.
He speaks.
My dearest, the cities of Tirzah and Jerusalem are not as lovely as you. Your charms are more powerful than all of the stars in the heavens. Turn away your eyes. They make me melt. Your hair tosses about as gracefully as goats coming down from Gilead. Your teeth are whiter than sheep freshly washed. They match perfectly. Not one is missing. Behind your veil are hidden, beautiful, rosy cheeks. What if I could have 60 queens, 80 wives, and thousands of others? You would be my only choice, my flawless dove, the favorite child of your mother. The young women, the queens, and all the others tell how excited you are as they sing your praises. You are as majestic as the morning sky, glorious as the moon, blinding as the sun. Your charms are more powerful than all the stars above.
She speaks.
I went down to see if blossoms were on the walnut trees, grapevines, and fruit trees. But in my imagination, I was suddenly riding on a glorious chariot.
Their friends speak. Dance, dance, beautiful woman from Shulam, let us see you dance. She speaks.
Why do you want to see this woman from Shulam dancing with the others?
The wedding dance. Chapter 7. He speaks.
You are a princess. and your feet are graceful in their sandals. Your thighs are works of art, each one a jewel. Your navel is a wine glass filled to overflowing. Your body is full and slender, like a bundle of wheat bound together by lilies. Your breasts are like twins of a deer. Your neck is like ivory, and your eyes sparkle like the pools of Heshbon. By the gate of Bath-Rabim, your nose is beautiful like Mount Lebanon above the city of Damascus. Your head is held high like Mount Carmel. Your hair is so lovely it holds a king prisoner. You are beautiful, so very desirable. You are tall and slender like a palm tree, and your breasts are full. I will climb that tree and cling to its branches. I will discover that your breasts are clusters of grapes, and that your breath is the aroma of apples. Kissing you is more delicious than drinking the finest wine. How wonderful and tasty.
She speaks.
My darling, I am yours, and you desire me. Let's stroll through the fields and sleep in the villages. At dawn, let's slip out and see if grapevines and fruit trees are covered with blossoms. When we are there, I will give you my love. Perfume from the magic flower fills the air, my darling. Right at our doorstep, I have stored up for you all kinds of tasty fruits.
If only you and I. Chapter 8. She speaks.
If you were my brother, I could kiss you whenever we happened to meet, and no one would say I did wrong. I could take you to the home of my mother, who taught me all I know. I would give you delicious wine and fruit juice as well. Put your left hand under my head and embrace me with your right arm. Young women of Jerusalem, promise me by the power of deer and gazelles never to awaken love before it is ready.
Their friends speak. Who is this young woman coming in from the desert and leaning on the shoulder of the one she loves? She speaks.
I stirred up your passions under the apple tree where you were born. Always keep me in your heart and wear this bracelet to remember me by. The passion of love bursting into flame is more powerful than death, stronger than the grave. Love cannot be drowned by oceans or floods. It cannot be bought, no matter what is offered.
Their friends speak. We have a little sister whose breasts are not yet formed. If someone asks to marry her, what should we do? She isn't a wall that we can defend behind a silver shield. Neither is she a room that we can protect behind a wooden door. She speaks.
I am a wall around a city. My breasts are towers, and just looking at me brings him great pleasure. Solomon has a vineyard at Baal Hamon, which he rents to others for 1,000 pieces of silver each. My vineyard is mine alone. Solomon can keep his silver, and the others can keep their share of the profits.
He speaks.
You are in the garden with friends all around. Let me hear your voice.
She speaks.
Hurry to me, my darling. Run faster than a deer to mountains of spices.
This ends Song of Songs, narrated by Robert Ramirez, Richard Poe, and Kate Forbes. You have been listening to The Holy Bible, Books of Poetry and Wisdom, Part 3, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Songs, narrated by Paul Hecht, Henry Strozier, Tom Steckschulte, John McDonough, Robert Ramirez, Richard Poe, and Kate Forbes.
Prophets of the Old Testament, Part 1. Isaiah. Narrated by John McDonough.
Isaiah. About this book. Isaiah spoke for the Lord to the people of Judah during the reigns of four kings of Judah. Over this period of about 40 years, the Assyrian Empire was expanding. Nations joined together to fight Assyria, but Assyria finally conquered Israel and most other nearby countries. Thousands of people were led away as prisoners. And although the kingdom of Judah wasn't completely conquered, it had to pay heavy taxes. The messages in this book can be divided into three parts. The first part is especially concerned about the Lord's holiness and his power as king of the whole earth. As a holy king, the Lord was angry about evil in Judah. Government officials were corrupt. Violence and injustice were everywhere. The Lord said he was going to have Assyria and Babylonia punish the people of Judah and other nations. But the Lord offered his people hope for the future if they turned back to him and trusted him to protect their nation. In the second part, the Lord spoke to people who had been punished. They were discouraged, and he offered them hope. But the Lord wanted them to understand that idols have no power, and that he alone is the true God. If the people of Israel turned back to him, then he would rescue them from Babylonia and the other nations where they had been scattered. They would return to their own land, and he would bless them and make them prosperous. The Lord was able to make this tremendous promise to his people because he created and rules the entire earth. In the third part, the Lord promises an especially bright future for those who are faithful to him. Chapter 1. I am Isaiah, the son of Amoz, and this is the message that I was given about Judah and Jerusalem when Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah were the kings of Judah. A guilty nation. The Lord has said, "Listen, heaven and earth. The children I raised have turned against me. Oxen and donkeys know who owns and feeds them, but my people won't ever learn. Israel, you are a sinful nation, loaded down with guilt. You are wicked and corrupt, and have turned from the Lord, the holy God of Israel. Why be punished more? Why not give up your sin? Your head is badly bruised, and you are weak all over. From your head to your toes, there isn't a healthy spot. Bruises, cuts, and open sores go without care or oil to ease the pain." A country in ruins. Your country lies in ruins. Your towns are in ashes. Foreigners and strangers take and destroy your land while you watch. Enemies surround Jerusalem, alone like a hut in a vineyard or in a cucumber field. Zion would have disappeared like Sodom and Gomorrah if the Lord All-Powerful had not let a few of its people survive. Justice, not sacrifices. You are no better than the leaders and people of Sodom and Gomorrah. So listen to the Lord God. Your sacrifices mean nothing to me. I am sick of your offerings of rams and choice cattle. I don't like the blood of bulls or lambs or goats. Who asked you to bring all this when you come to worship me? Stay out of my temple. Your sacrifices are worthless, and incense is disgusting. I can't stand the evil you do on your new moon festivals, or on your Sabbaths and other times of worship. I hate your new moon festivals, and all others as well. They are a heavy burden I am tired of carrying. No matter how much you pray, I won't listen. You are too violent. Wash yourselves clean. I am disgusted with your filthy deeds. Stop doing wrong and learn to live right. See that justice is done. Defend widows and orphans, and help those in need. An invitation from the Lord. I, the Lord, invite you to come and talk it over. Your sins are scarlet red, but they will be whiter than snow or wool if you willingly obey me. The best crops in the land will be yours. But if you turn against me, your enemies will kill you. I, the Lord, have spoken. The Lord condemns Jerusalem. Jerusalem, you are like an unfaithful wife. Once your judges were honest, and your people lived right. Now you are a city full of murderers. Your silver is fake, and your wine is watered down. Your leaders have rejected me to become friends of crooks. Your rulers are looking for gifts and bribes. Widows and orphans never get a fair trial. I am the Lord all-powerful, the mighty ruler of Israel, and I make you a promise. You are now my enemy, and I will show my anger by taking revenge on you. I will punish you terribly and burn away everything that makes you unfit to worship me. Jerusalem, I will choose judges and advisers like those you had before. Your new name will be Justice and Faithfulness. The Lord will save Jerusalem. Jerusalem, you will be saved by showing justice. Zion's people who turn to me will be saved by doing right. But those rebellious sinners who turn against me, the Lord, will all disappear. You will be made ashamed of those groves of trees where you worshipped idols. You will be like a grove of trees dying in a drought. Your strongest leaders will be like dry wood set on fire by their idols. No one will be able to help as they all go up in flames. Peace that lasts forever. Chapter 2. This is the message that I was given